Well, let's talk TV and to binge or not to binge. That is the question being asked by TV networks who now all have their own streaming services. iView, of course, a fabulous example of that. A new ABC drama might clarify that question after premiering on iView a fortnight ago before the weekly Sunday night broadcast began this week. This drama is set in a psychiatric ward in the Blue Mountains. It's called Wakefield.
I used to want my daughter to find a good job, get married, you know, all those things. Now I just wanted to change her clothes. Maybe leave the house, maybe talk to someone. Instead, she lives like a cockroach under mounds of rubbish.
The fabulous, amazing, wonderful Heather Mitchell there, a real Australian favourite in the new Australian drama Wakefield. Michael Bodie joins us now. Hello, Michael.
G'day, Fran.
It sounds quite dark. I've seen the promos. I've put off going to iView to look at it yet.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Wakefield.
Well, it's a very empathetic and quite involving drama set in a psychiatric ward, which has got a few little procedural conceits. It's not a standard sort of drama that follows, you know, a few characters through a journey. It sort of takes little episodic looks at characters.
Storylines at each episode.
And then interweaves them. And it does have cliffhangers, and if you've seen the show, you might pardon that pun. But I think it's part of what is a pretty good year so far in Australian drama and comedy with Fisk and Bump, which was also good.
Really, Bump was terrific, I thought.
Yeah, I think we're having a good run of it with not sort of conventional, kitchen sink dramas or anything, but they're not also being stupidly experimental like a lot of the HBO stuff is at the moment. So this one is, as you said, something set in psychiatric ward, you might think, oh, Sunday night, do I really want that? But it's very emotional. It's very, and some of the really good twists are, there's a few comedians cast, but they're cast as the serious office workers, whereas, you know, 10 years, 20 years ago, we would have cast the comedians as the patients and, you know, let them be stupid, and it just would have been ridiculous. This is nothing ridiculous, although there is a lightness to it. It's really held together by a seeming unknown, actually. Rudy Darmalingham plays Nick, who's the nurse who's really the sort of conscience, but also the soul of the series. He's really charismatic. I'm not familiar with him on other stuff, but he's got a great cast around him, Geraldine Haykwell, Sam Simmons, Felicity Ward, and then you've got these sort of patients played by some big names, Ryan Corr and Dan Wiley. So it's very accessible. You know these faces, so it's not sort of a foreign, but it's just so well done, so emotional, so involving. It's a really good series.
The casting, sometimes with Australian drama, you feel like you've seen everyone before and in a lot of different roles, and sometimes that gets in the way a little bit of it, or it feels tired even though it's not, just because you know all these faces. But what I liked about Bump, for instance, was there were a lot of new faces, a lot of young faces. Do we have that problem with Wakefield?
No, I don't think so, because a couple of the major actors that are in it are in minor roles, and they're not playing against type, but they're not playing their typical characters. So I think it's very subtly done. It's directed by Jocelyn Morehouse, who's probably one
fantastic
of informed TV directors in Australia at the moment. And I mentioned Mandy McElhinney too is a key character, and she plays a really great nurse, not a great character, a great character. She's not a great nurse. But again, it's not her typical sort of really bombastic role. It's very subtle. I think she might pick up some awards for this one.
Okay. She's terrific. What about the question of the ABC deciding to release this 2 weeks ago on iView as a series before it gets rolled out? What's the thinking there, and does it work? Are all the free-to-airs doing this?
Well, we don't know. We don't know the iView figures. It didn't have major ratings on Sunday night, and I don't think it ever was going to, because it's got a few little twists and turns, and I think it might polarise some people. For instance, in the opening episode, they launch into a tap dancing sequence, which for some people might be a real jolt. But as the series goes on, those little sort of bumps, they don't become bumps. They become quite something you look forward to in the series.
So, are they a sort of surreal moment like we used to see with Pennies from Heaven, or something different?
The flashbacks and stuff really set up a lot of cliffhangers and a lot of, oh my God, moments that are then resolved relatively quickly, but it does get, you just get further and further invested. But going back to the streaming, I think this is the sort of series where networks will put it on the streamer and work out, okay, what are people going to, are people getting into this? How are we going to market it? Things like that.
I think Stateless is still, you know, quite front and centre on the streaming services too. Yep. That's a former ABC series that's been up a long time. I get the feel people are still going to it.
Yes, that would be, you know, the algorithms, basically these things work. So, you know, you get that first promotion, but if something sticks, it stays there. So, yeah. And if something doesn't stick, it gets pushed off by the next thing. So, yeah, this one, I could see the ABC was a bit intrigued about how this would go on broadcast. So putting it up on the streamer would work for it.
On Monday, the Academy Awards, after a year in which most of the world couldn't go to the cinema. This is going to be interesting then.
It's going to be very interesting. It looks like Nomadland is going to win, which suggests that we're all craving to get in a motorhome and drive around somewhere last year. Not that it's a sort of cheery film.
I don't know that that would make you crave that, really, that movie.
No, I know. It's a very, it will say something interesting about if that is a Best Picture winner for the year. I don't know whether it's a blip, but it doesn't seem like a normal Best Picture winner, if you know what I mean. But we shall see. They're going to, it's been interesting because all the award shows this year, in the States at least, and here, the audiences have been down by half at least for the Grammys and the Golden Globes. So Steven Soderbergh's producing this Academy Awards on Monday lunchtime on 7. And they're doing live hubs. So they will have a little ceremony in LA. They'll have two things in LA, one in London. I expect there will be a hub in Sydney. I don't know where it'll be, but I can imagine we've got so many people here at the moment that they might have one here. It's going to be an interesting one because there's real low recognition of all the movies, and most of them have premiered on streaming services. I think about six.
What are some of the other Best Pictures? Have you got the list?
Well, Mank is up for
Never
Best Picture. So the ones that have premiered on Amazon or Netflix are Mank, the David Fincher film, Sound of Metal, which is quite good, The Trial of the Chicago 7, Aaron Sorkin's film.
Oh, yeah, that's quite
Judas
good.
And the Black Messiah, Promising Young Woman, Minari, The Father, and Nomadland. So I think they're going to split them around because the acting awards are going to be split between films. It does say that I don't think it says much about streaming services taking over, given that they've dominated.
No, the year it was.
Yeah, it just says something about a very strange year. But, you know, we just have low recognition of these movies. We just haven't had the marketing thrown at us by Hollywood as we usually do.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, if Nomadland is the front runner, you want to know more about it, we did interview the director, Chloe Zhao, late last year. That interview will be on our website. We'll put a link to it there so it's easy to find for you. Michael, just finally, anything else worth watching on the telly this week?
Well, the big guns are back, the lovely big guns, MasterChef and Lego Masters.
I watched Lego Masters last night. Gee, I love that show.
It's good, isn't it? They're both just really good, wholesome. They're freshening it up with great new hosts. So they're back. They've been rushed back. So there's a bit of a war on between...
Well, no new host for Legoland, to be fair, but Hamish Baker's just as funny.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're not going to trash Hamish Baker, are you? Another great series on SBS Food this week. We spoke about Adam Law's new series, but Straight to the Plate, about Torres Strait food and culture, hosted by Aaron Farser, who's a lovely guy, really charismatic presence. So that's one to look out for. And Amazon this morning have just announced that there's more supplemental reporting for the Borat film. And I saw the clip, and it shows a lot of Borat being run out of town, essentially. So they're releasing another sort of mini film of special cut stuff from Borat, which I think will be interesting. It won't be pure comedy. It'll be, how the hell does he get away with it? And yeah, it looks as though he barely does.
Yeah, it's a good question, really. Michael, thank you very much.
See ya.
Michael Bodie, our regular TV correspondent.